This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Hi, it's The Herd. For all you parents out there, what's the best thing you can do for your family? Book that summer vacation you've been dreaming of? Take them out to dinner on a Friday night? Sounds fun, but the best thing you can do is also the smartest thing. Protect your family with a LegalZoom last will or living trust. I did. Taking a few minutes to complete your will or living trust at LegalZoom.com not only protects your family and assets, but shows how much you really care by making sure they're taken care of if something happens. LegalZoom wills start at just $69. That's less than a dinner out, and they last a lifetime. Their documents have been accepted by courts and government agencies in all 50 states. Plus, you'll get LegalZoom's $50,000 guarantee and attorney help when you need it through their personal legal plans. LegalZoom's not a law firm and provides self-help services at your direction. Save even more by typing Colin, C-O-L-I-N, in the referral box at checkout. Take a few minutes today to protect your family. For wills, trusts, and more, go to LegalZoom.com.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald, Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star, from ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star, Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who'll be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. Back in studio. Glad to be here. Had the hot dog contest Friday and yesterday up at Meadowlark Hills in Kearney for the Nebraska Children's Home Golf Tournament. Looked like everything went well. Raised some good money, and thanks for having us up. Glad to be there yesterday. Thank Josh Jeldon for being with us for a little bit yesterday, doing the show up at Meadowlark Hills. Coming up on the program today, well, we got a good nature story from an ex-Husker who is off to a good start, and we'll tell you more about that in just a second. We'll also be talking Penn State on our 12 teams in 12 days today. Penn State is up. And Nate Bauer, who we've chatted with since being in the Big Ten Conference from Blue White Illustrated, is going to join us on the program today. And also Steve Friesen is going to join us in the last segment of the program, web.com. Hey, I figure Sky Kucheski's on the show last week, and then he finishes second. We need to help Friesen out a little bit, even though it's an off week. We'll get him ready for next week's tournament. Then they come back to the Cox Classic. And, of course, last year Steve got the exemption to the Cox Classic, did well enough to make it into the price cut of the next week in Missouri, and he won that tournament, which you win one tournament and it just opens up. It doesn't matter if it's what tour it is. You open, you get a win, and that really pops you on to bigger and better things. And of course, if you're on the PGA Tour, one win, Masters, you're in the U.S. Open, you're in the British Open. I mean, these guys that folks maybe have never heard of just a couple of weeks ago are doing some great things. And special co-host, one of the guys that's been asking me forever, hey, come on, let me on. Jay Sloan is with us. What's going on, man?
Nothing, man. You know, I'm just checking another item off my bucket list here. Filling in the daddy spot here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I'm truly honored. I tell you what, Doug.
You must need a longer bucket list, or else you have a billion things on your bucket list. What's like the do you have like a couple of really cool things that you want to do before you're, I mean, just a young kid, but before you're, well, I'm not talking family and all that kind of stuff, but from a sporting venue or a adventurous or a travel thing, what's high on top of that?
You know, I think definitely go back to Fenway. I'd love to see Fenway, see a ball game of Fenway, and see a Bears game. I want to go see a Bears game.
You got to go to a Bears game. We got Bears fans in Kearney, throughout the Midwest, throughout Central Nebraska. A lot of Bears fans out there looking to make that trip. They've made that trip. The best trip, I think, is if you can get out there and catch a Bears-Cubs weekend, if that works. That usually happens maybe one or two home games for the Bears. The Cubs might be at home. I've heard that's kind of like a bucket list weekend for a lot of people. Cub fan?
Yeah, I'm a Cubs fan. Who's not a Cubs fan? Unless you're a Royals fan, of course.
It's safe to be a Cubs fan because what the heck, you know?
You don't have much farther to fall.
No, there's not much to fall. Tell folks, as I've all the co-hosts that we've had here that we've brought into the program, some we've had before, some we haven't. Tell them a little bit about yourself, your background, what you're doing now.
Well, I'm a 2008 graduate of Kearney High, regional sports fan, longtime listener of the show here. I went to Lincoln for 2 years. Wrote on the Daily Nebraskan on the sports section there, so I guess that's my sports background.
Cool.
Dabbled a little bit in the football team. Did a lot with the volleyball team. Learned a lot there, so I had a couple great sports minds, and that's my sporting background.
And now you're hauling down millions where?
I'm working over at Score Marketing now. I'm kind of doing an internship. I'm a marketing and advertising major at UNK.
How's that going so far?
Oh, it's great. Great job over there.
You were in Lincoln for the transition then? You were going to school when Callahan was still coaching, or were you, and then the transfer over? How'd that all work out?
Well, I started there in 08, so that'd have been just Bo's first season.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was the excitement to have a guy like Bo back. Bo's a big personality, and you see Bo run around on campus working out, and you know, he's a great guy. He was great for what we needed there at that time, and it served its purpose for the first year, and now he needs to kind of get in there and do some work.
Well, you've already talked about liking football, baseball. Like all sports, is there something that you just don't watch? Is there a off the radar sport that you're a big fan of?
Yeah, I'm a big horse racing fan. I tell you what.
Is that serious?
And, you know, a bucket list item that I tell you. I want to call a race out of Fawner.
See, there you go, Steve-O. See, I haven't even done that yet, and I brought that up to Steve-O a couple of times. See, Tony got to do one not on the PA at Fawner Park, but they also were simulcasting radio at that time, and so he did the same race. Steve did the race, but he did it on the radio, and then, of course, we got the tape of that, which was just a blind stroke of luck that race was not a normal race. Somebody lost their jockey. The horse that lost the jockey comes flying across the finish line. Daddy's got a pretty good call of the race. It would have been better if it had been a short race for Daddy. I think he had a mile instead of just a 6 furlong because he was running out of gas by that time. It's over. Yeah, horse racing fan as well, which I think was instilled on me. I don't know a lot of people could say this, but Mom is a big horse racing fan. So, that's where that comes from for me. You?
Well, I definitely get it from my dad. You know, his dad was a trainer out at Fawner, Cozad family, and he goes every year, takes a big group of people out there, and, you know, some good handicappers out there, kind of learn how to take care of business out there. But a big horse racing fan.
Golf?
You know, my brother played golf at the university here, golf family. Dad played in Lincoln at the university. So, you know, I'm not a very good golfer, but but I love to watch it, and it's a family talking point.
You fit right into this program then. That's Jay Sloney's going to be our co-host on the program today. And if you have an email or if you'd like to phone in and join us on the program today, all you have to do is 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. And the email to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy. That's spell out the word and, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Well, some problems yesterday, the last couple of days with a couple of, I guess it's easy to tab these guys as knuckleheads, and we've been around enough people where people get in trouble. It's the multiple offenses, though, that you just go, what are you people doing? Here's the latest this morning, and I'm talking about Marshawn Lynch and Dez Bryant. Wide receiver Dez Bryant of the Dallas Cowboys arrested because his mother complained that he had assaulted her over the weekend. Okay, and I can't even get past that first sentence. You're a multimillionaire, obviously a spoiled brat, to even your own mother. I just can't believe it. Bryant surrendered yesterday to police. His attorney said he posted a $1,500 bond. DeSoto Police Captain Ron Smith, where the arrest happened, told the media that, quote, some type of altercation occurred between Bryant and his mother, who called police Saturday afternoon. Officers found she had bruising on her arm and a swollen wrist and thumb.
How embarrassing.
How stupid. What?
No, I don't get it. I don't get it. These guys that have it all, that you know, up-and-coming athletes here, and they pull something like this. Unbelievable.
And then you got Marshawn Lynch. It's not that he just got a DUI. It's that it's the next thing. Just when it seems like he's got it finally together and he's having some good success at Seattle and actually kind of the face of that franchise right now, he goes out and gets in trouble again. And again, it's not just that it's a DUI. It's just that it's something he's done again. And I guess some of these great athletes never learn, and he is the very latest out there. And I guess for a moment, Jay, it takes a little bit away from all the talk of the NBA trades and obviously what's going on at Penn State. You texted me this morning that you saw, share that with the folks. Did you see that online, or was that a tweet? Or
yeah, no, that was something that we heard from, if you're listening earlier on the Herd, Colin Cowherd. They said, the big debate with whether they were going to keep the statue of Joe Paterno up, whether they're going to rename the library, things like that. And a plane apparently flew by with a banner that had somewhat of a threat saying, take the statue down or we will. It's going to get ugly there. I think we've only seen the beginning here.
Yesterday on Outside the Lines, which airs on ESPN television, Corey Geiger from the Altoona Mirror was on there. Greg Doyle, CBS Sports, who I know has been on numerous times with our friends in Omaha on their sports talk show, and a funny guy, he was over the top serious. He wants everything. It was weird. He wants everything to come down on Penn State and no NCAA involvement. But he thinks everything needs to be wiped out. He is very emotional when he was talking about this. And yesterday they had a panel on there, and Corey Geiger from the Altoona Mirror, and then they had a gentleman, a young kid, that was on the student newspaper. And the best suggestion I heard was take the statue and move it into the Athletic. I don't think it was Hall of Fame, but memorabilia. It would be somewhere else on campus, and I guess that's the best suggestion I've heard so far. They've changed Paternoville to Nittanyville, I think it is. They're changing the names of a variety of things. I said yesterday, some of these things need to let the dust settle. Other things, you don't want to let the dust settle and then rehash it in when the football season comes up, or when a year from now, and say, oh yeah, okay, now the statue's gone, or now we're changing the names of this. Some of that has to be addressed. But you being the college student that you are, what are your thoughts, not specifically on all this, but just all the coverage and how this has taken over not just the sports world, yeah, but news as well?
Well, I'll say at first, I couldn't believe, watching news, up until midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning when they fired Paterno,
yeah,
and watching all those events unfolding. And throughout this entire thing, I keep thinking, the only person that I can compare this to is, what if we were looking at this situation and not that it would ever happen, but it came out and it was Tom Osborne is the only, I think, relevant idol that we can make as Nebraska fans. And I think we can't really understand what those people in Penn State are thinking until we try to put that as one of our idols, Tom Osborne, Dr. Tom. And I think it would be crazy to think how we would handle that situation. Would we be calling for statues down? Would we be calling for, all these things happening, the Tom Osborne, facilities in Lincoln? I don't know. I think there's pros and cons to both ways of it. I mean, did the guy put up a legacy there? Yeah. Did he make a big mistake in this scandal? Yeah. So, what do you do?
Yeah, that was one of the things that we talked about on the show when all of this was coming out. Put yourself in their shoes. And the problem is, it's so over the top. It's hard to even imagine putting yourself in those shoes and how each individual person would react. And then this morning, it was an interview last night, but it was making waves this morning, and this is no shot at PBS, but the interview was conducted last night. The president of the NCAA says he is not ruling out the possibility of shutting down the Penn State football program in the wake of the Jerry Sandusky child sex abuse scandal. In a PBS interview last night, President Mark Emmert said he doesn't want to, quote, take anything off the table, end quote, if the NCAA determines penalties against Penn State are warranted. Emmert says he's never seen anything as egregious as this in terms of just overall conduct and behavior inside a university. What the appropriate penalties are, if there are determinations of violations, we'll have to decide. this is where I have such a gray area, and on and off the program I've had some heated discussions with a variety of folks one way or the other. What sanctions, what would you find? What would the NCAA be looking for? And I put that out as a broad question. I don't know what they would be looking for, and maybe there is something on the rule books that says this happened on campus, yada, yada, yada. On the other extreme of things, I would hate to see, I mean, if you shut down a Penn State football program, you're shutting down a university, a community, that section of the state. They've been putting out the numbers over the last few days of how much money it would cost the businesses and everything that goes on that is associated with Penn State for folks that had absolutely nothing to do with this. It's going to be hard enough to continue on in the near future with this football program. I would hate to see the NCAA give Penn State such a harsh penalty that it would cripple the university and the community, not the football program, the community and the university for a decade plus.
You know, and that's just the thing, is the people that don't know, you know, the setup there in State College, Pennsylvania, it's a lot like Lincoln. And it's a community that thrives off of that university, and specifically that university's football program. And I, like you said, you know, Doug, you couldn't imagine taking away the game day festivities, all the things that would go on. I mean, it's not like Miami. They don't have any other sport to fall back on. They don't have anything. I mean, maybe their volleyball team, but besides that, I mean, it's...
Yeah, it's not a pro-sports town. You can look at the Steelers and things like that, but it's still college football. And Jay Sloan joining me as my co-host today on the Doug and Daddy Show. Before we go into break, Ann Nate Bauer from Penn State's Blue White Illustrated will join us. If you got a question, email it to us. We'd love to pass it along to any of our guests. If you send us the email to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Steve Sipple had a chance to speak with Prince Mukamara this morning. He is in Lincoln, and he's donating to Lincoln High. The former Husker told Lincoln High football players, if you work hard, you'll appreciate it more. And is donating nearly $10,000 worth of equipment, who helped arrange the donation. Blake Lawrence is back there as well, another former Husker. He talked to the kids. Lincoln High head coach Mark Mackey said up to 55 players will receive shoes, and he's just giving out a variety of different gear to help the Lincoln High program, which I guess, as we all know, has been football-wise kind of a laughing stock across the state of Nebraska. There are a handful of programs now in the public school systems in Lincoln and Omaha that have had no success on the field in quite some time, and Lincoln High is one of those, because in this day and age, you can just decide where you want to go, and what kid wants to go play for an 0-9, 1-8 football team when he can be playing for state championships by going to Southeast or Northeast or whoever you want to pick in Lincoln. So Prince wearing his Super Bowl ring, that always has a little clout with the kids, I would guess.
Of course.
So check that out. There's more from Sip on Husker Extra at LincolnJournalStar.com. Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox here. Got a couple of emails. This comes from Mike, who says, I think Jonathan Coachman had the best idea for the statue. Of course, Coach does radio and TV here on ESPN. It needs to be taken down and put in a memorial room to Joe Paterno for the people who still love Joe Pa. The room should show all the good and bad he did over his tenure. Well, now remember, folks, the bad is this. There is no other bad. Yeah. This is it. And then on a different note, Mark fires in, did you hear about Matt Schitt going to ESPNU? Yes, I have. There's our old buddy that started the show with us. Matt Schitt was going to move up in the Omaha radio chain, had, of course, moved on, and his timeline went from here to Omaha TV to Omaha radio, and now he has got a gig with ESPNU. So not exactly sure what it is. I haven't talked with him since hearing that, but congratulations to Matthew.
Oh, Matt Schitt, I remember... 8th grade Sunrise Middle School, Matt Schick was there, and he was covering our Hoops for Heart, Hoop Shoot, Shootout, and that was my claim to fame with Matt Schick.
Got some time?
I might have done an interview with him.
Awesome. Well, good job, and congrats to Matt. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Our 12 teams in 12 days will continue with Penn State. Nate Bauer of Blue White Illustrated when we come back.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Today's interest rates are the lowest that we've seen in generations. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an amazing 3.75%. APR 3.98%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. We'll help you keep more of that hard-earned money in your pocket where it belongs. Maybe that's why for the second year in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination in the nation. Here are some of the reasons why. We close many of our loans in 30 days or less, and we provide you with industry-leading online apps designed to guide you through the loan process with speed and ease. Again, today's amazingly low rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage is 3.75%, APR 3.98%. So give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or visit us at quickenloans.com and find out for yourself why we're engineered to amaze.
For J.D. Power and Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
I'm in the gym with some guys all 30 and older, asking them about the Charger Pack from Complete Nutrition.
My name's Brian. I'm 34. The Charger Pack helped me lose about 15 pounds. Really, I have more stamina than I did 5 years ago.
For guys 30 and older, the Charger Pack recharges your natural testosterone levels back to when you were young and peaking physically. The Charger Pack increases energy levels, and you'll lose fat around your midsection for a stronger core.
Charger Night, I've been taking that now for 6 months, and I've never slept better. I think just a combination of that Charger product really sets the tone for what I need.
Take it from these guys. If you're a male, 30 and older, and you want to naturally lean up and replenish your energy and stamina, get to Complete Nutrition and recharge with a Charger Pack.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281, and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
There are happy hours, and then there are HK happy hours. Hi, this is Mike from HK Sports Bar and Grill, and I want to personally invite you to take advantage of the best happy hours around. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you get a buck off all long necks. Thursdays, it's $1.50 pints. Fridays, all drinks are half price from 3 to 6. And on Saturdays, tackle our $2.50 24-ounce big cans of beer. On Sundays, it's 11-buck 100-ounce towers and 12-buck buckets. And remember, text HKVIP to 90210 for even better direct-to-you VIP offers and monthly gift card drawings.
We'll see mostly sunny skies today. South winds 5 to 15 as we warm into the upper 90s to near 100 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, cooling to 69. A slight chance of showers or storms developing Wednesday. Right now, it's 84.
Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Congratulations, Shelton Gibbon Jr. is qualified for the state baseball tournament with a win last night. And we'll talk more about that in just a little bit. But right now, it's time for college football.
It's that time. 12 teams in 12 days leading you up to Big Ten Media Days, July 26th through the 28th. We'll preview a different team each day. We'll head to the leaders division for today's team.
Penn State.
The Nittany Lion.
It's time for 12 teams in 12 days now on the Doug and Daddy Show.
And we are pleased to welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show from Blue White Illustrated, Nate Bauer, to talk a little Penn State football. Nate, welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. Jay Sloan is our co-host today, and great to have you on the program. How you doing?
Pretty well. How are you guys?
Well, we're doing good, and we want to talk some football. And when it comes to Penn State, I know that a lot of Nittany Lion fans would like to talk football, but the future is so wide open. I just want to get your personal feeling on where the state of Penn State football is right now.
You know what? That's a question that I don't think any of us really know right now. I think that's the big issue is, you know, we've come to understand you know, all of these new kind of revelations in terms of, you know, obviously the Free Report and the Jerry Sandusky scandal, it makes it very difficult to determine, you know, the health of the program, because we don't know what's going to happen in terms of any types of NCAA sanctions, you know, people floating about the idea of death penalty. You know, with all of those things kind of lingering overhead, it doesn't matter how well Bill O'Brien has done on the recruiting trail. If they don't play football this year, what good does it do?
What does Coach O'Brien say about all of this and his, I guess, his attitude towards moving forward?
He's been on vacation, so there actually hasn't been a public statement from him as of yet. I mean, obviously, he'll have to address this at some point, but, I mean, he's kind of in the dark as much as anybody else is. I mean, the NCAA hasn't made any type of decision at this point, so, you know, it's kind of a wait-and-see game. The university has to put together a response to, you know, the NCAA's question, and then they can start to go from there. I mean, certainly his statements throughout all of this have been, well, listen, we weren't here. You know, this is not something that my staff, any of the players that are here, you know, any of them actively participated in. So, you know, if there are going to be sanctions and repercussions for the program, you know, you start to kind of gather that the wrong people are going to be penalized. Joe Paterno's dead. Gary Schultz and Tim Curley are awaiting trial for perjury. And Graham Spanier is obviously out of the picture and could face his own charges. You know, so if those are the central actors, then certainly it's going to be tough going for, you know, a lot of Penn State players, personnel, staff, you know, and obviously head coach Bill O'Brien if there are those types of sanctions.
You know, speaking from assuming that Penn State plays football, and I think I talk for most of us out here in Nebraska that we do hope that Penn State plays football this year. What effect is this whole situation going to have on Coach Bradley coming in for his first year and kind of the overall morale, the coaching staff there at Penn State?
You never know. I mean, it's kind of just a state of the unknown right now. I mean, I think that recruiting has gone extremely well. You know, they have done, they've been able to kind of shed the image problem so far. But I mean, if there are sanctions, if they lose scholarships, and certainly if there's a death penalty, you know, it's going to be very, very difficult for them to maintain the recruiting class that they currently have. And certainly when you get out into the actual season, who knows about things like demonstrations or protests and what kind of a distraction this will be on the actual football team. You know, last year it was a circus, you know, towards the end of the season. Obviously, once everything came out, you had the last three games of the year where, you know, there were no questions posed to players relating to football. It was all about this. And if that's the case again, you can start to understand how, you know, it's going to be very, very difficult to put a team on the field that is focused and ready to play football.
Nate Bauer, Blue White Illustrated, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Jay Sloan co-hosting with me, Doug Duda, on the program today. One more question before we get into the X's and O's about this with Penn State, Nate. And I know this is a gut feeling and a hunch, but what do you and your media colleagues that cover Penn State on a daily basis think will happen with the NCAA? When will there be sanctions? Will they get involved? What's the consensus among you and your colleagues?
I don't think there is one at this point. I think from the national perspective, you know, obviously we've seen so many knee-jerk reactions in terms of death penalty and shut the program down. I mean, heck, I've seen people say shut the university down. It's kind of a battle of who can be the most outraged. I think that among the local beat writers, and certainly, you know, Philadelphia, Harrisburg, Pittsburgh, there's pretty much a consensus of, listen, you're punishing the wrong people if you punish this year's group and next year's group, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It really does not accomplish anything. It only makes a bad situation worse. So I think that there's a general feeling that there might be sanctions. You know, obviously, you know, the NCAA will cave to some type of public pressure. There, something has to happen. But, you know, in terms of the death penalty, shutting down the program, you know, that seems very unlikely at best.
Unfortunately, I suppose about every question this year will have to start with if this hadn't happened. But what is the prospect for this football team going forward if they're left alone? Talent coming back, leaders on this football team. What would you expect if it was normal? And I know that's hard to guess, but what kind of regular talent does this team have coming back?
I think that 8 wins, 9 wins is not out of the question. I don't think that it's Penn State's most talented team by any measure. There are some pieces on the offense that are pretty good in Silas Redd and Justin Brown. Silas is the running back, Justin is the wide receiver. And you got an offensive line that might start to come along here. But at quarterback, you don't really know exactly what you have in Matt McGloin. He's been around for a couple of years now, but he's kind of been off and on. He's exceeded expectations already. I mean, the kid's a former walk-on quarterback. And on the defensive side of the ball, it's pretty much business as usual, which is Penn State's had top 10 defenses for most of the past 10 years. And I'm not sure that this will be any different than that, even with Ted Roof coming in to take over the defense. They just have all of the same pieces. Linebackers, they've got Gerald Hodges and Mike Maudie, who are going to be two All Big Ten linebackers. You got an All Big Ten defensive tackle in Jordan Hill, and another one coming along in Daquan Jones. There's a lot there remaining on the defensive side of the ball. It's just a big question as to what they can do on offense with some pretty big remaining question marks.
Following up on the quarterback issue there, Nate, you talked about a couple of kids that played a lot of quarterback last year. Then I see the name of Paul Jones out there. Some people have him listed as a kid that may take over the reins. Where does he fit into the mix?
Well, he's a guy who he's kind of had a spotty career so far at Penn State just because of academics. He hasn't been able to really clear himself and make himself eligible to play. Certainly everybody thought that he might give it a run. In spring practice, but honestly, Matt McGloin was taking all of the first team reps as it was. It's very difficult to imagine a scenario where Paul Jones could have come in and just taken the reins outright. I'm not going to say that Paul Jones won't play sometime this season, but certainly Matt McGloin's been named the starter for now, and I expect that to continue as the season progresses.
Nate Bauer with us for a couple of more minutes as we continue our 12 teams in 12 days, talking with Penn State today. Nate with Blue White Illustrated here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You mentioned Gerald Hodges and Mike Maudie. Linebacker, you, and there's just a couple more right there. Are they good enough to keep this defense as good as they always have been?
The secondary is a big question. You've got a couple of guys in the secondary who have been around in Malcolm Willis and Stephon Morris, but they just have had devastating losses in the secondary in particular. Curtis Drake is a kid who was a wide receiver. They moved him over to cornerback, but he had some academic issues and some discipline issues, and he's gone now. Another kid, Derek Thomas, a cornerback who many considered to be one of the best on the team, he was considered one of the best on the team without having ever really proven it. And, he's gone now too. He had some of his own issues. So those are two really, really big losses, and they were already thin there. So they're going to have to figure out something in that defensive secondary. But other than that, that front seven is going to be easily one of the best in the Big Ten, if not the country. But we'll see.
In a normal year, I would say that this schedule isn't the worst in the world. In fact, a lot of winnable games until you get to Ohio State October the 27th. You start off with a veteran coach and Frank Solich. Obviously, Nebraska fans will keep an eye on Ohio and Penn State. What do you think about the schedule?
I actually think it sets up perfectly for Penn State. You get some challenges early in the season, but all teams at Penn State should be able to beat, which honestly should build confidence going into the Big Ten schedule. And then, obviously, once you get to the Big Ten schedule, you don't get to meet until the very end. It does set up extremely well for this team if they could just kind of manage to get through those first four games. Ohio, Navy, Temple, and Virginia – are not powerhouses, but they are formidable. They're you know, they should be a good test for this team to open the season. If they can't get through those four games, you might have some trouble. You know, you might, if they go 2-2 in that series, look out. 6-6 might not be out of the question. But certainly, if they can go 4-0 or even 3-1 during that span, I would not think that 8 wins would be out of the question this year.
You know, aside from a trip out here to Lincoln, looks like the toughest games in your schedule in Wisconsin and Ohio State, playing their in-state college, Pennsylvania. What's kind of the atmosphere on game day there, in-state college, and does it compare to what we know out here at game day in Lincoln?
I know what it's been in past years. I don't know what it's going to be like this year. Yeah. I mean, and that's the honest truth. I know that it has been a great place to watch college football, but you just never know. I mean, this is a circus atmosphere that goes so far beyond football. It's just, you know, when Nancy Grace is involved, you know that it's not a typical year.
What are you guys doing at Blue White to cover the team differently now than maybe 1 year ago today?
Everything, honestly. I mean, you just got to pay attention to the stuff. You can't ignore it. You gotta check in and see what's going on with all the legal proceedings, because if you don't, you might miss something that has big implications on what this team does this year. So it's been a very, very different 7 or 8 months for me, covering the team here.
Last moments here, Nate. I guess we were talking about this. Jay brought this up earlier. Nebraska would be a program that would be a mirror-like image to Penn State as far as where it's located, population. It's the big game in town. What is the one thing that you would like to tell people about that you would just, I guess, like to get out there? Is there a message right now that the folks at Penn State would like to get out, or that you have, or that you think about all of this?
I don't know. I think that if anybody's asked for anything, it's kind of a wait and see. It's kind of a, you know, let's calm down some of the rhetoric. Let's just allow this process to play itself out. Certainly the free report being released, you know, that's a big deal. I mean, that comes to a lot of conclusions and paints a much clearer picture than we've had in the past. But, you know, certainly I think that to give this context and to give this a real understanding of everything that's going on, at the very least, everyone needs to try to show some patience and, you know, allow this to play itself out. And once that happens, you know, let the judgments come. Let's decide on legacies and, you know, enduring thoughts about the people involved in this. Let's wait on that, at least a little while, and you know, at that point we can come to our own conclusions.
Nate, our last question for every one of our guests: who do you have winning each of the leaders and legends divisions this year?
Wow, you know what? I think that Penn State side is going to be very, very interesting. I think certainly Penn State and Wisconsin could be right there at the end of the season to take that. And, you know, honestly, I give Nebraska or Michigan on the other side. I think all four of those teams, with obviously Ohio State not really being part of the equation this year, I think all four of those teams could deserve a spot in the championship game.
All right, Nate, we sure appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show. Hopefully we can do it again soon. And, hey, all our prayers are with you guys out there so that things can get back to somewhat normalcy as soon as possible.
Sounds good. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Take care, man. Nate Bauer, Blue White Illustrated. I guess that's maybe where I'm the conservative guy. I just take care of the people that need to be taken care of and let the people whose regular lives were not affected, regular lives, let them get back to living their lives, because this, amazingly, one person, this ripple effect has been so incredible. And Penn State, they open the season with Ohio, and we talk football. That'll be interesting. Frank Solich and the boys are picked to be a co-favorite by Phil Steele in the MAC to win their division. They've done so many good things, yet they've not won their division under Coach Solich in his 8 years, going into his eighth year at Ohio. And, of course, they lose Noah Keller.
It's a big loss.
I know. The Kearney High product I think, two times as many tackles as any other individual on the team, checking his stat sheet. But Ohio at Penn State, as Ohio continues to find that tough team. Penn State's had Alabama on their schedule, and they usually have that one home run hit. They don't have that this year, although Virginia was much improved last year, and going there, that'll be obviously the real first true test for this football team. But conference-wise, they start at Illinois, host Northwestern, go to Iowa. Any other year, there's a chance that that's 3-0. Then their final five games, host Ohio State, go to Purdue, come to Nebraska November 10th, host Indiana and Wisconsin. You know, on the surface there, you're looking at a 10-2 football team.
Yeah, I think any other year, you know, you look at that and you say, hey, it sets up great for Penn State. You just can't look at it this year like that.
It'll be every game day. Something will be up talking about Penn State in a different story. I just hope there's nothing. I hope there's not another psychotic person or group out there. If you want to make a demonstration or you want to show your displeasure in some way, find the right way to do it. But again, every kid and every coach that's going to be running on that football field September 1st when they take on Ohio had nothing to even do with the scandal, and I hope none of them are affected by a lunatic out there. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And tomorrow, more college football talk as we get closer to media days. In fact, it starts 1 week from Thursday in Chicago. We'll be there live on the 26th and the 27th. And that'll be the next thing. Will Coach O'Brien be able to even be asked a football question? Because you know how the national media are. And will they even get to talk any football? Coming up, Steve Friesen, talk a little golf, more with my co-host Jay Sloan, and the rest of the world of sports. All of our guests on the Doug and Daddy Show, taken care of by our friends at BK. Burger King, two locations in Kearney at Cozad, Lexington, North Platte, and in Kearney, they're near the cinema at 8th Street and 3rd Avenue, next to Walmart, 56th Street and 2nd Avenue. Jay, were you ever at the one by the Kearney Cinema playing the ball pit where the kids' zone is?
Yeah, I might have been there back in the day.
Back in the day.
Can't say I wasn't.
We'll take a break. Be back with more after this.
At the Fram Proving Grounds, we impose harsh punishment on Fram filters. We explode them, we pound them, we crush them. But we don't do it because we've got a mean streak. We do it to make sure they can take the road's punishment and still help protect your engine. Like Fram Extra Guard, built to protect three times better than average economy filters. So don't unfairly punish your car with a cheaper filter. Give it tested, proven Fram Extra Guard. Fram, don't fail your engine. See serious punishment at Fram.com.
You're cruising down the highway and don't want to stop for gas. BP gasoline with Invigorate can help you keep on going, because it can help your car get a few more miles per tank when compared to low detergent gas. When used continuously, it helps clean and protect critical engine parts from harmful deposits, so you can go a little farther between fill-ups. So blow by that exit. You've got driving to do. BP gasoline with Invigorate. Go a little farther.
The Kearney Country Club invites you to register today for their annual Coors 4-Person Golf Scramble August 4th and 5th. Your entry fee includes two rounds of golf, cart, steak dinner, Calcutta, and four complimentary drink tickets. Friday includes a practice round and 6 p.m. shootout. Get your entries in today for the preferred tee time of 8 a.m. or 1:30 p.m. Saturday, with everyone going Sunday at 10. You can download an entry form at ESPNSuperstation.com or call the Pro Shop to enter your team in the annual Coors 4-Person Golf Scramble at the Kearney Country Club.
There we were, me and my buddies at our favorite hangout, Cunningham's Journal. This time, we're sitting out in the courtyard, which is pretty cool. It's like you're sitting out in the tropics, got the palm trees, beachy scene, bunch of TVs to watch sports, and of course, live entertainment every week. When all of a sudden, I had an urge to get a frozen margarita. Of course, my friends just laughed. If you're looking for a good place to hang out this summer, eat good food, or even have a margarita, Cunningham's Journal in the courtyard is the place to be in downtown Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Losing an irrigation system this summer could be costly. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, They offer replacement cost coverage for center pivot irrigation systems on qualifying units. Replacement cost coverage allows you to purchase a new system or parts, subject to policy provisions and reducing the need to search for outdated parts or to wait for used systems to become available. To learn more, contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company. Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see mostly sunny skies today. South winds 5 to 15 as we warm into the upper 90s to near 100 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, cooling to 69. A slight chance of showers or storms developing Wednesday.
Right now, it's 84.
Show Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday. Jay Sloan co-hosted with me today, and it's time to look at our poll question for the day. This is the double dipper here. We'll ask you yesterday, and then we'll ask you today. And folks, you can vote on our poll question at ESPNSuperstation.com. ESPNSuperstation.com. Yesterday, who will Team USA miss the most in the Olympics? And then you look at that kind of lackluster performance against Brazil. Brazil always wants to play the Americans tough, so I was not surprised that they played them tough. I was surprised that they were in the game as long as they were. Who will they miss the most? Derrick Rose, Dwayne Wade, Dwight Howard. Who would you say, Jay?
Derrick Rose.
See, we went with Dwight Howard yesterday because they need a big man, and they figured that out last night, and that's what the folks that voted said. 67% said Dwight Howard. Today's question obviously has to do with golf. And anytime you can put in Tiger Woods, that's what people do. So here it is. How will Tiger Woods do in the British Open? Here's your choices. Win it, finish in the top 10, finish out of the top 10, miss the cut. Jay, what do you think?
I'm going to put him in the top 10. I know he's kind of favored to win it right now. But, you know, in that situation, I like to go with the hometown guy, so...
Well, weather is such a factor, and he's already condemned the rough over there a little bit. And when Tiger doesn't go in all fired up, sometimes he doesn't do so well. But maybe he'll be so focused he gets it. I think this is one of those things. He either wins it or he's just playing early on Sunday and finishing it out. My gut says he finishes outside the top 10. Makes the cut, but finishes outside the top 10 because this is not his favorite track when it comes to British Opens, that they move it around. So we'll find out. And Steve Friesen, he'll be watching a little golf, playing a little golf, and getting everything done on a tour. He joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And Steve, thanks for the time. How's it going?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, great to catch up with you. Of course, we chatted with Steve and Scott Gucheski last week at Cox Classic Media Days, and they were in the Utah Championship. I don't know, Steve, maybe we should have talked to you last week and waited for Gucheski this week, because the Doug and Daddy karma rubs off and Gooch goes out and finishes tied for second. You played right around the par number, didn't make the cut, and I know you want to make that cut. You want to keep making strides, but you also have to be happy for your friend and Gooch.
Yeah, oh yeah, that was a great event for him. Like you said, of course, I want to be playing a little better than I have been, but yeah, you know, we both were just kind of having slow starts to the year, and then he turned it on. He finished, I think, third in Mexico and then second there, so he's right close to the top 25, but obviously the season's about half over as well, so there's tons of golf coming up here, and but yeah, that was great to see that. You know, some friends texted me and said, "Hey, you know, second place finisher. You're right around the corner."
Steve, talk about where your game is at right now. We asked Scott about that. You've been battling some injuries. You got that first tour win last year. Where are you at right now?
Right now, literally, I'm in hot Scottsdale and smoking down here. But where my game's at, I've just kind of probably tinkering with equipment a little too much. You know, I just putter. I haven't been real committed to a putter and as confident as I need to be. And, you know, I don't think it's the putter so much. I just need to really, you know, believe. I think, you know, you know, my game's in good shape. It's just something of going out, practicing, and really, you know, physically and mentally, just really, you know, believing in yourself, putting the work in to believe that what you're doing is good enough. Just such fine lines to, you make a few putts, you know, on Thursday, get the ball rolling. First round's so important out there on tour. Last year when I won, you know, I had 10 under the first round. I just kind of set the stage. I just could kind of just play solid golf from there and set myself up for a great round the last day to win. And if you don't have that first, if you don't play well on Thursday, then you're going to be hopping around the cut on Friday, and then that's just not where you want your focus to be, to just make the cut. But, you know, so I'm just trying to keep getting better.
You know, you talked about how important that first round is. You know, what do you do on that Tuesday, that Wednesday, to kind of prepare yourself going into a Thursday? It's like you said, kind of come out with that good round and set a precedence for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. You know, if you're playing, like last year at the end of the year, I'm playing every Wednesday in the Pro-Am. If you're top on the money list, you have to do that. So that kind of depends if you're playing in the Pro-Am Wednesday, kind of how it structures your week. You know, you don't, especially now where it starts getting hot and a lot of tournaments in a row every week, I think the number one thing is you just have to be fresh mentally. You just really want to be out there to compete and ready to give it 100% and just grind 100%, you know. And if you put a little too much practice in, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you're just going to be a little flat, I think, you know, just kind of emotionally, or just, you're going to have to be able to leave every bad shot behind and really, you know, want it more than anybody. And so, you know, I think it depends. You know, I've been playing the Wednesday Pro-Am, so I'm trying to get, you know, my work done Monday, Tuesday, and then just kind of rest up Wednesday, maybe practice a little bit, maybe mostly take the day off, and then just be ready to go.
Talking with Steve Friesen here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Doug Duda, our co-host today, Jay Sloan. Of course, the web.com tour just changing over from the nationwide tour. Folks still getting used to that. And the reason we've been chatting a lot of golf lately is we're just a couple of weeks away from the Cox Classic. And we've been talking about the guys, and it happened to Scott as well, that got into the Cox Classic on an exemption and really turned it into something. Steve, talk about what the Cox Classic obviously did for your career and that special month or 3 week span, and actually it was like a week and a half span last year.
Yeah, you know, last year was special. It was great. I was conditional on the tour last year, just way down bottom of the barrel conditional. So I didn't get in a tournament until the Cox, and the only reason I was in the Cox Classic last year was getting a sponsor exemption. And so, just so thankful to them, Chad Martison and Cox and all the people involved giving me the sponsor exemption, giving me the chance to play there. And I didn't play that great there. I made the cut, finished, I don't know, 40th or 50th, and just by virtue of my finish, the money I made got me into the next week. Off the money I made at the Cox, and the next week I won. So if I wouldn't have got that sponsor exemption, you know, I don't know where I'd be right now, but definitely I don't want to think where I'd be. So that was a great timing, and it was a great opportunity. I took advantage of it, and what I really love about the Cox, it's one of the few, if not the only event on the nationwide that consistently supports, you know, a local, usually kind of up-and-coming professional from Nebraska. Only tournament that consistently does that every year, gives an exemption to a Nebraskan. And I think this year, I believe, I'm not sure, I'm pretty sure Nate Lashley, I think he's going to be giving him the exemption. And great young player, lives down here in Scottsdale too. And it's really cool. And it's a rare thing.
I don't think a lot of folks still, even golf fans, don't. We talk about getting that exemption. It isn't like they just look at the people that are available and then just pick a name. There's some application process and work that goes into that for every tournament, every week. Can you explain to the fans what you have to do kind of every week or every other week? It's more than just qualifying. You're trying to get these exemptions. What all goes into that?
Yeah, well, luckily this year I'm full status on the tour, so I just sign up and I'm in each tournament. But, you know, there's so many levels of people on this tour that it can be easy to fall out of being, you know, in every tournament. So then one of the ways, you know, you have to write letters to the, you know, tournament director and submit application to request sponsor exemption. And, you know, they get maybe usually four per tournament or so. And so, you know, that you know, there's just too many good players for the number of spots that there are. So, you know, I mean, in the past year, I think it was my second time I got sponsor exemption. You know, they have two different levels. Two, I think, you can give to anybody in the world, and then two, they have to give to a member of the Nationwide Tour. So that's kind of what I had last year. I was a member of the tour, but I wasn't in the tournament since I hadn't made any money that year. So then, you know, I got one of those spots. But, you know, one of the two spots they can give to anybody in the world, they always give one to, a up-and-coming young professional. And Gooch kind of started that trend. You know, he did that 2003. I'm not familiar what their policies were before that, but I know after that they've pretty much done that every year, giving it to a young, you know, good Nebraskan coming up. And, you know, there's just so many good young players, and I think it's just a testament to kind of what Nebraska is all about, and, you know, why everybody that, you know, maybe leaves there kind of always has a connection to it or comes back, you know, eventually moves back later in life. And just there's such kind of community in Nebraska and such support of the community that you don't find in big cities, you know, living like in Phoenix or Scottsdale, and that's just kind of shown in how much they support those young golfers coming up.
So what was it like for you when you came back, of course, you know, being from the university and then playing back in Omaha? What was the support like for you personally?
Great. You know, for a long time, I'd, you know, be down here in the winters and back in Nebraska in the summer, and I still try to get back as much as possible just because there's just a lot of great golf courses back there they'll practice at, and it's just kind of home and enjoy being there in the summer. And the Nationwide has a Midwest stretch, so it travels a lot easier if you kind of hang out in Nebraska for a few months in the summer between tournaments. But and just, you know, the people, you know, have a lot of friends still, and my family's all back there. And so it's just, you know, so nice and lush and green when you're down here in the desert in the summer, and it's so brown and 110. Nebraska sounds pretty nice.
Well, there's a lot of Nebraska right now that's brown and 110, unfortunately. Last last minute with Steve Friesen, web.com, Nationwide Tour, won the Price Cutter last year, the week after the Cox Classic. He's joining us here. I saw last week that you were paired with Bob May, the guy that took Tiger Woods down to the, a decade ago in the PGA Championship. And it's just, if you follow golf like I do, like we do around here, and your fans, I smiled, I grinned, I said, that's probably pretty cool. Have you ever been placed with somebody that even you thought, hey, this is pretty cool?
Oh, boy. Good question. I played with Bob when I was full-time on the tour in 2009. We got randomly paired up quite a bit that year, so I knew him a little bit. Nice guy. I'm friends with Len Matisse, just a great guy, you know, and talked to him much about it, and I don't think he wants to be reminded necessarily, but he was real famous of, you know, I think he lost in the playoff of a Masters years ago, or was right there in the Masters. I don't remember exactly, but I mean, it's amazing how, you know, you can, in professional golf, there's not a lot of job security, so you can kind of be right there, and 2 years later, you know, I mean, you can get some pretty big names on the Nationwide Tour that, you know, aren't too far removed from having, you know, Woody Austin is playing full-time out here, and it wasn't too long ago he was on the President's Cup.
It's just an amazing roller coaster, and as we've talked, everybody that we have on this program, I mean, John Hurley plays his first PGA Tour event out of O'Neill, Nebraska last week because he got in on that Monday qualifier, but it just takes that one tournament, and it's happened before for Steve, and last year getting that championship and popped him onto this year, and hopefully things continue to get a little bit better for you. We look forward to seeing you at Omaha at the Cox Classic. Steve, thanks for giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show, and kind of enjoy the week off.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Take care, buddy. Steve Friesen giving us the time here. Been on the tour since 99. Was actually the state am champ stroke play and match play in 1998. And then went on to his tour. He's won on different tours five or six times, but just hasn't been able, you know, if you get on the PGA Tour and just have one good week, one good week, you make it's been funny because they've been actually talking about that. And Jay Sloan, our co-host today, they've actually been talking about that on the broadcast lately when Faraday and McCord are on there and these guys you've never heard of, and they go, he just went from tied fifth to tied third. He just went from 204,000 to 362,000 if he can hang on. I mean, that's their whole career in 1 week. It takes 1 week.
That's all it takes for them, those guys. And like you said, maybe you get the ball rolling and you have a week like that. And who knows? Sky's the limit for some of that kind of stuff.
Well, and these guys that are only making $1,200 a week if they make the cut, or $4,000. I mean, I saw what Gucheski made this week. It was all these on the web.com and nationwide. The purses vary so much that he was third at Mexico and made more money than he did for getting second last week. And it moved him up to 29th. On the nationwide money list. But you're getting fired up. You've done some research here on the British Open. What do you got going on, man? Who you got winning this thing, and who's your dark horse? Because I see you've been doing a little work over here.
Well, you know, I like to look at the odds, and I think I can get a good idea from that. And I think my steal out there, I like Lee Westwood at 12-1. I think he'd be my favorite, putting it in there right off the top. You know, I think I'm kind of selling my stock on Tiger this week. He's been hot lately, but like we said, with the course up there, I guess I don't see him doing so well. And I guess probably my dark horse out there, the worst smile in all of golf, and possibly the greatest swing in all of golf, Louis Oosthuizen.
Yeah, the Lou.
Getting him at 45-1.
Yeah, you can get him at some pretty good odds. I'll tell you what, Bubba Watson. I'm looking at Bovada. He's 50-1 on Bovada going into the Masters. 40-1, excuse me, going into the Masters. He was 50-1 on another site. Mickelson's 33-1. Garcia 33-1. They've got Dustin Johnson at 40-1, and one of these days he's going to pop back in there. But he's been battling the injury and spraying it around a little bit. This might be the kind of course that Ernie Els does okay on.
He's won it before.
It sounds like you got to keep the ball in play. Sounds like the people that would be good in the U.S. Open, be looking at the foreigners, the non-Americans that do well in the U.S. Open, I think will be the guys that do good in the British Open this week.
Yeah, and keep an eye on Patrick Harrington, too.
Now, all of a sudden, he's been playing a little bit better. I like that. I like that. Goosen, I don't know. I'm looking at some of these names out here. Of course, once you get to Angel Jimenez, Miguel is 125-1. Stuart Sink is 125-1, a champion in the past. The defending champion, Darren Clark, 125-1. Davis Love and John Daly, 150-1. Paul Casey. 150-1. Here's a guy that evidently has just fallen off the face of the earth. Sangmun Bae, who has done some good things and was deep in the match play, 150-1. Vijay Singh, 150-1. Kevin Na, 200-1. There's one thing they like to do more, I think, than drink and play golf over in England, and that's gamble, because you can do that on about anything over there. We're going to take a final break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jay Sloan joining me, Doug Duda. We'll wrap things up, talk a little bit of baseball when we do it right after this.
In the USA, we love road trips, but when you hit the open road to see the world's largest ball of yarn,
that's a lot of yarn.
Yep.
Visit Beecher's Bear Ranch in Brogdon, North Carolina.
Bear! Oh my.
Or the exciting town of Boring, Oregon. Your car goes too. Protect your engine with Mobil Super Motor Oil. Its unique formulation helps prevent engine wear and sludge and extend engine life. Take care of the engine that takes care of you. Mobil Super, for long engine life. Visit mobilsuper.us for more details.
Vamanos, muchachos! We ride!
Everyone knows how scary a flat tire can be. Imagine getting one at 100 miles an hour. Hi, I'm Sal Fish, CEO of the Score Baja 1000. Flat tires used to be a big problem for Baja racers, but with Slime Tire Sealant, flat tires are a thing of the past. Slime is the official tire sealant of the Baja 1000, because the bottom line is, if you get a flat, you lose. So listen, buy some Slime, put it in your tires, and don't get caught flat.
Get your green Slime at AutoZone and Tractor Supply.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Frederick and his decades of experience in problem solving, heading up the Mead team. Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
Nobody likes surprise repair charges. That's why you should trust the certified technicians at AutoTech Specialists of Kearney. When Aaron, Scott, and Todd put their heads together, there's almost a half century of experience to solve most problems. AutoTech Specialist is a Napa Auto Care Center. Most repairs are warranted for 12 months or 12,000 miles, and every vehicle receives a free safety inspection. Surprised? Now you can take your vehicle to AutoTech Specialist at 25th and Avenue I for no surprises. Find out all about ATS on Facebook.
Here's a couple things you might not know about Jersey's in Kearney. They offer lunch under $6 every day, and there's something going on every night of the week. Like on Mondays, 45-cent wings. Tuesdays, happy day. That's happy hour all day long. There's a late-night happy hour Monday through Thursday from 9 until 11 p.m., not to mention free Wi-Fi, Keno and Trickle Cards. There's something every day for everyone at Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. Located in the Vista Point Shopping Center, Kearney.
Open Championship on ESPN Radio. After wins in both June and July, is Tiger Woods ready for his first major win since 2008?
Ball's on its way. Will it fall? He's got it! Fist pump, fist pump!
The British Open, July 21st and 22nd, right here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, your home for champions.
We'll see mostly sunny skies today. South winds 5 to 15 as we warm into the upper 90s to near 100 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, cooling to 69. A slight chance of showers or storms developing Wednesday. Right now, it's 84.
Doug and Danny's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. It's lunchtime. Well, why not check out the Chicken Coop in Grand Island in Kearney? You can kick back. Check out all the press conferences for the British Open. You can be watching some baseball highlights, and doesn't matter what's on. They'll have it on. If it's not on, they'll get it there for you at the Chicken Coop. Don't forget their party rooms are available. Maybe you got a family reunion. Maybe you've got something to do for business, whether it's in the evening, over the weekend, for a lunchtime. They've got it open for you in Kearney and Grand Island, and it's Tuesday. So come into the Chicken Coop for Wing Basket Night every Tuesday night, just $5 for 10 flame-broiled wings with your choice from all of their wing flavors. Get what you want and try something different. They're like giving them away, $5 tonight from 5 to 10 at the Chicken Coop in Kearney and Grand Island. We love us some Chicken Coop. Jay Sloan.
Absolutely.
Man, baseball, who are we rooting for? What do we got? What's going on? What are you thinking for the last half of the season here?
Well, I mean, I think we saw last night, I think Detroit's definitely going to come back and make some interesting runs there. I don't know. You know, I saw in the stats today that that Oakland A's have won 9-1 in the last 10.
Everybody's talking Rangers and Angels, and it would be neat. Maybe the A's would be that team that can make the charge in the late season. We've already talked about Pittsburgh and a couple of other teams that have been kind of a surprise here at the beginning of the season. Maybe Oakland. But they're still a little ways back.
9-1 and half a game back in that log jam in the AL wild card. So
they got a chance. All right, buddy.
Interesting stuff.
We got Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Jay, I know you got to get out of here and get back to your real work today, but we'll have you on again. Thanks, man.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Doug and Daddy Show stays here for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Call now. First person to get things right today will give you a $25 gift card to Troutman's Quality Meats. If you haven't won in the last 2 months, you are eligible. Call now. 888-455-ESPN. And we would love to get you on the program today. Let's go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
Brett.
Brett, do you want baseball or do you want golf?
Baseball.
All right, last night, Raul Ibanez hit his 10th career Grand Slam home run. According to Major League Baseball stats, who has the most Grand Slam home runs of all time? One of the players is still playing.
Kirk Gibson.
Not Kirk Gibson. Good. I like it. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with?
Keith.
Keith, you want golf or you want baseball?
Let's try baseball, I guess.
All right. Same question. There are two men that have 23 career Grand Slams. Can you name either one of them?
I'm going with A-Rod.
Alex Rodriguez is correct. They both played for the Yankees. I couldn't believe Lou Gehrig is the other one. Lou Gehring and Alex Rodriguez, you are the winner. Hang on the line, and Merritt will get you set up with a $25 gift card. Thanks for calling.
All right, thanks.
Hang on the line. Wow. Gosh, I thought that would be a little bit tougher, but they knock it out of the park. Tell you what, we're going to have to find one that's really tough for next week on the Doug and Daddy Show. Getting you through a couple of other sports notes that we hadn't talked about today. How about ESPN? They are now going to be broadcasting the Rose Bowl. $80 million a year to broadcast the Rose Bowl. They better find a way to make some money besides just the game. 2015 through 2026, and that's why the Big Ten wants to stay a part of the Rose Bowl. Big Ten, Pac-12, they'll keep the media revenue from the game, except when the Rose Bowl is a national semifinal game under the new playoff format. Former Creighton All-American Kyle Korver traded, probably doesn't like this, although he's going from one playoff team to another. The Bulls trade him to the Atlanta Hawks. American Legion Baseball, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty now. Here's what's going on tonight. And what happened last night for our area teams, the B5 Juniors, they are playing their baseball over at Albion. And last night, Central City eliminated Wayne, so they'll play Albion in an elimination game tonight at 7. Then the winner gets Aurora in the championship tomorrow. The championship of the B6 at Holdridge is tonight. Minden will play Cozad. Cozad would have to win twice to make it to state out in Chadron. The C5 Juniors, the final is tonight. Hebron is undefeated. They'll take on Davenport Edgar at 5:30 in Donovan. The C6, three teams still remain over at St. Paul. Taylor Burwell Sargent and Twin Plains have an elimination game at 7. The winner will have to beat Palmer Wallback Greeley twice tomorrow. And congratulations to Shelton Gibbon. They're headed to North Bend for the Class C Junior State Tournament, and they beat Hersey Sutherland 9-5 yesterday. The rest, all the seniors and the Class A juniors, begin their tournaments either this Thursday or Friday, and trying to get on to the state tournaments the following week. So best of luck to all of those squads. And I think that's going to get us through another Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. I want to thank Jay Sloan for being my co-host for the day. Tomorrow, Mike will be co-hosting with me on the program. And we will continue on, have a little Loper Link segment. We've also got our next Big Ten football. We're halfway home. We have done Illinois, Minnesota. We have also done Purdue, Michigan, Michigan State, and today Penn State. And we want to thank Nate Bauer of Blue White Illustrated for talking candidly about the off-field issues and what hopefully will be the on-field team that will be pretty darn competitive, it would seem, for the Nittany Lions. And also to Steve Friesen from the Web.com Nationwide Tour. And he joined us on the program today. He's getting ready for the Cox Classic in 2 weeks. Enjoy the rest of your day. Don't forget live coverage of the British Open Saturday and Sunday morning here on ESPN Radio. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.